Topic I want to talk about today is the phrase into the world.
What, into the world?
Into the world. And it's used 19 times in the New Testament and never in the Old Testament. And as you read through the different verses that that phrase shows up in, it's you find that there are many references to the light and the darkness. Light and dark. The light came into the world, the darkness that was in that came into the world through Adam, things like this. But into the world, you know, what the world is the word cosmos. Like, it's more than just this earthly planet, but it is certainly takes in everything that is on this planet as well as the planet itself, which includes us. What kind of condition, since this shows up in the New Testament, what kind of condition had the world become before Jesus Christ was born? What kind of condition was it in?
Not good.
Well, first of all, the word was only given to the Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Abraham, and then through the prophets, then Moses. Well, first Moses, then the prophets. And then there was a period of time. Remember how long it was? There was no prophet?
Like 400 years.
400 years. There was no new light. There was no direct revelation from God to give the children of Israel any kind of nourishment that way.
They weren't receiving.
Yeah. It isn't because God had stopped talking. Is that there was nobody that believed. That was the big difference. And what was the big problem that they had in their unbelief? They had just turned off to God and turned on to religion. Religion had taken the place of God. And they were looking to the Pharisees. And first it was the priests and stuff like that. But then the Pharisees and the scribes became the authority in everything that they thought about as far as when it comes to the things of God. As a people, now, in every situation, there's always the exception. There are exceptions that have been around. But the word is still held in the hearts of men and women. That's where it lives. The pages that it's written on is simply paper and ink. But the word becomes alive and living when it's in our hearts. So let's go to John chapter 3. Can you imagine what God, during that time, what he must have felt like when there was no light in the world?
Really disappointed.
I would think. It was like, it's like, you know, if you had enough money to build your child a house, a perfect house, just everything that anybody would ever need or want, this perfect house, and they go in a matter of a month, they've trashed it. Just absolutely trashed it. And that's what happened with Adam and Eve. They trashed it. It was like they had no care, no desire to do, to take care of what God had given them. Because they were deceived, and they chose to do the opposite of what God asked them to do. I'm sure in hindsight they wish they hadn't, but that was still it. But God made this beautiful world to hold those that he loved. And then when Adam and Eve decided to disobey and rebelled against him, then the adversary was allowed, because of Adam turning over the authority of the world as being the one who had the supreme authority in the world, he turned that over to the adversary, and he just has run amok since then. He's trashed it. So in John chapter 3, verse 12, it says, If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? So Jesus Christ has been having his teaching ministry going for a while, and he made it very clear that you don't believe what I am telling you. How can I reveal to you spiritual things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now, of course, this verse is a pretty popular one for the people that teach that Jesus Christ preexisted with God before his birth. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be what?
Lifted
up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, what did Moses do with the serpent in the wilderness? Anybody remember what that account?
Yes.
Please tell us, Fred.
The people were moaning and groaning because they were in the wilderness, and so God sent fiery serpents to bite them. Oh. And so they were all getting bit and...
And dying?
Yep. Yep. And so God said to make a brass serpent of brass and put it up on a pole. And if anybody looked at the serpent, they would live. And if they didn't look, they would die.
Yep. It was a tupas, a sign, an example of the coming Christ. And this is what Christ is saying right now. That was just as Moses did that. You have to look unto me in order to be saved. Wasn't anything more complicated than that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, that contextually wise is talking about how the serpents killed the children of Israel, and that serpent raised up on the pole saved them. This is how God is supplying a way for mankind to be saved. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So whose choice is it as far as being judged?
Ours.
It is our choice whether we are judged righteous or found to be unrighteous. It is not anything more than the love of God to make that choice even available. Because without Christ, that choice wasn't even a possible. There was no way for people to be saved. It was only because of the love of God making that possible that anybody can be saved. And it is only the people that believes. That is the difference. The belief in the Son of God, or unto the Son of God, and the believing more in all of the philosophies of man. That's the choice. Even atheists who say they believe in nothing believe that. They believe in that philosophy that there is nothing except their own abilities. And verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Well, how do you know what is right unless the light shows up the wrong? Okay. Unless you know what is wrong, you can't know what is wrong until you know what is right. So that the introducing of the light into the world, come into the world, was what condemned the error. Okay. And it says, and men loved what? darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Yeah.
Don't want anything, anybody to see it.
Right. Well, they decided that the darkness was more preferable to the light, because when you're in the light, and you have to change. And that's the difference. You have to change. There's changes that's got to be made, because you can't live darkly in the light. It's like trying to bring an umbrella with you. You can't do that. It's not possible to live in the light and choose to do the darkness. But because they wanted to continue doing the dark works, they decided to stay in the dark. Now, that's all figuratively speaking, of course. But what is being said here is that the truth of God's word was rejected to keep the philosophies of man. That is what really happens. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made what?
Manifest.
That they are wrought in God. So when you are doing right and your heart is full of love and full of the word, then you want to be in the presence of light, or in presence of other people that hold the light. You see? But when you are wanting to hold on to the sin, and you got that special thing that you're pampering about the flesh, then you don't want to be around believers. Okay? And I'm not talking about a brand of churchism. I'm talking about people who believe God, people who love God, people who want to move with the truth of God. Then those people are avoided, because I have this secret darkness that I'm holding on to. And we find ourselves like that from time to time in our own life. At least I do. If there's something I'm really messed up on, then I'm not really anxious to be around other people that might, hey, do you really want to do that? You know?
They might notice.
They might notice, yeah. Now, God sent. This word sent is the Greek word apostoleo.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting? We get the word apostle from, right? One who is sent. And it also means to be set apart and sent out on a mission. So the word, that light, was sent from God, and that is, of course, referring to Jesus Christ himself. And he was doing the Father's will, wasn't he? He was sent as an apostle to bring that light into the world. And John chapter 12, verse 37. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they did what?
Believe not on him.
Believe not on him. How could you deny that? How could you deny the miracles? Well, you often see that today. You could have a miracle and nobody recognizes it from being from God. But his miracles were right in their face. I mean, lepers cleansed, healed the lame, ears put on, you know, blind see, dead raised. Yeah, those are ones that you kind of have to really, really play with your mind to say this isn't of God. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Was it God that blinded their eyes? No.
No.
Was it God or hardened their hearts? What he made was an availability of coming to the light, and then they shut their eyes. Now, if that's causing their eyes to be shut, I guess in some figurative way you could say that. But the truth is that the light sometimes causes people to shut their eyes, doesn't it? These things Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake to him, nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not what?
Confess
him. The chief rulers were believing on him. The civic leaders were believing on them. Because of the Pharisees, they didn't say so. Lest they should be put out of the synagogue.
Oh, yoy.
Yeah, politics. Politics and religion. Terrible combination. And they had it both wrapped up in one.
Right.
There was no separation of church and state there. It was one and the same. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's where that one phrase, I'm going to go to church to see and be seen. Yeah, that's that verse. I'd rather go to church where there's more people so that I can dress up in my fineries and see and be seen for whatever reasons. But thankfully, we have a beautiful place to go where we're loved and can hear the word. Verse 44, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that what?
Sent me.
Ah, wow. He that believeth on me is not believing on me, but the one who sent me, the apostoleo.
Yes, right there.
Okay. I'm doing the work of the one who has sent me. Believe on me, because when you believe on me, you're believing on the one who sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that what? That's right, because he's such a good example that when you see Jesus Christ, when they saw Jesus Christ in the flesh, they actually saw the will of God being carried out for their lives. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejoiceth in me and receive not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So it was the light of the word that he brought that was the critic, the judge. All he had to do was what? Give it. He wasn't the one who condemned people, but they, by either their acceptance or their rejection of the word that he gave, was the outcome. That was what they had available to them. And it was the word that he spoke that was the judge. Is that what he just said? Is that what I just read?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when we speak the word, how do we to think about people? We don't have to judge them.
Right.
We don't have to be a critic of their life. The word will be the only thing that they have that will bring them out of the darkness into the light. So that is the word that was God sent into the world, was through the life of Jesus Christ. For I have not spoken of what?
Myself,
but the Father which sent me, apostoleo. He gave me a commandment that I should say what I should say and what I should speak. Is it any clearer?
Right.
Yeah, there's no, can't be any clearer. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. When you speak the words of the Word, when you give that to people, it has just as much authority as when Jesus Christ spoke his words. How was Jesus sent into the world? We know from the Bible that he was born of a woman, that he grew, and that he learned obedience, and that he believed God. And we can see from this previous reading in John that he was not saying his own words as if he was God himself. He was speaking only the words that the Father would have him speak. So he had a birth and he grew. John 16, verse 28. Says, I came forth from what?
The Father,
and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. Now that, just that reading there would indicate, well, he was with the Father, he came into the world, and then he's going to go back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou comest forth from God. So, how did he come forth from God? By speaking what God had him to say. That's how he came forth from God. As an apostle, he came forth from God. That's how he came. That's how he was with God. Because he took the words that God gave him. Jesus answered them, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Why is there such tribulation? It's because it's full of darkness. It's full of the philosophies of men. And that's where the darkness lies, is in the philosophies of men. As Jesus was sent into the world from the Father, so are we. In John chapter 17, verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So, bad things happen, don't they?
Yep.
And is the devil there to take us out?
Yes.
Yes. And his prayer is that God protects us from that. But we're still in this world full of the darkness. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Okay?
Right.
Now he's doing an even as. Just as I am, so are they. So he says, I'm not of the world. They're not of the world. Why are they not of the world? They were born into the world just like he was. Because they believed. That was the distinction. They believed on him. He believed that he was the Christ.
Yes.
Do you see? He had to believe that he was the Christ. They had to believe that he was the Christ.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What was the big challenge that the adversary gave in the wilderness? If thou be the Son of God. That was the challenge that Christ had to have right from the very beginning that was to be overcome. Yes, I am the Christ. So, when we believe on him that he was the Christ, then we are no longer of the world. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, that's a great one there, isn't it? The word that we believe sanctifies us. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. There's another, even as. So, we were sent into the world by Jesus Christ, right? Well, especially these apostles. But by transfer or giving us authority to do the same work that they did, we were also being sent into the world. Well, Jesus Christ was sent into the world. He says, even as I'm sending, I was sent. So how was Jesus Christ sent into the world? He was born, he believed, and then he was sent. We were born, we believed, and are sent. Same way. Same way. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Which is really cool, because he did it all correctly. He never sinned once. And why? For their sake. For us. He never gave in to sin once.
Gosh.
Not once. And it was for us. See, we are sent to bring the light of God, which is Jesus Christ, into the world. We can do this because we are the children of light. According to 1 John chapter 4, let's go there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Mm-hmm. Now that's a spiritual love. That isn't phileo love. Okay, that isn't natural man kind of love. This is the love of God that is totally selfless. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Well, when Jesus Christ believed God, then God could send him. When we believe God, God can send us. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation refers to the mercy seat where that sacrifice was given once for the children of Israel, once a year. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. That's how we know. We are the children of light. We're God's kids. And everything that comes with that awesome honor to be his children, we can do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But in the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves also know, or yourselves know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are what? The children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. That light that God gave to the world by sending Jesus Christ as an apostle of that light, because he could. He never sinned. He was God's only begotten Son. And because of that, he was a child of light, and we are also children of light because we have that Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, this word disobedience is the Greek word apatheia. We get apathy from. Mm-hmm. Now, we learned that there's two forms of unbelief, apatheia and apostheia. You remember the distinctions from the PFL class?
I don't remember, but I remember hearing.
Okay.
My translation says empty words.
What translation says empty words?
International.
For what word? Unbelief?
Disobedience. Sorry, it's really hard to follow. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. It's a rejection because you just don't care to know.
Oh, okay.
You just don't care to know. You heard, but you rejected it. Okay. Apathy. Now, the other kind of belief is you don't know, you don't believe because you never heard. Okay, well, this is the bad kind. This is you heard and chose to reject it. So, verse 7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Well, how do we walk in the light? Well, one of the great ways is manifesting the Spirit. Mm-hmm. But the manifestations of the Spirit are tools of the children of light. Goodness and righteousness and truth or a change of character. Do you see? That's where we're changing. A workman can use tools and be a bad person, right? Mm-hmm. Without ethics. Mm-hmm. No good character. But he knows how to use those tools. But we want to be a good workman of the word, where our heart is right and our life is changing to become more and more like Christ. Jesus was both born and sent. But he had to be born first, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And then he was sent. John 18, verse 35. Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priest had delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. To this end was I what?
Born.
And for this cause came I into the world. Well, that's how he came into the world. He was born. That I should bear witness of the what?
Truth.
And what is truth? The light. The light of God is the truth. So he was first born, and then he was sent to bear witness. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And what happens when they hear the voice? They come out of the darkness. They come out in the darkness into the light. Isn't that great?
That's cool, yeah.
Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? That's the apathy. He had just heard it. And he rejected it. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith to them, I find in him no fault at all. So, we are also sent to bear witness of the light and the truth that is in Jesus Christ. So let's get going. Mm-hmm. The world is out there just waiting.